It's good to be in God's house this morning. And as you just think about all the folks that have joined together today, I know that we could say this every week that the Lord tarries is coming and lets us have another time. But this may be the last time we gather together. And if it is, I want to do everything that God has for me. I don't want to leave anything on the field, as it were. I don't want to leave anything there that God spoke to me about. And I see some of you feel the same way. And I think about even as I watch folks come in, the building is have a good crowd in here. And I saw folks scooting over to the middle, letting somebody in, just doing your part to help folks feel comfortable. Because I know what we think. Sometimes, well, they can get a seat somewhere. But somebody, this may be their first Sunday here. And I saw different ones of you helping folks get into the seat, or you moving out or moving in. Thank you for doing that. That's just being hospitable. And we're so grateful for that. Now, you can see that the front rows are still open, except for Brother Daniel and Becca over here. But it's good to see in church. Thank you for being here. It's good to see Brother Archie Johnson. Some of his family's here with us. And thank you for being here. Brother Archie and Diane, some of their children are here. And a joy to always have them with us. But it's good to see each and every one of you. Would you open your Bibles to Acts chapter number 4. I want to preach this morning about being bold in our faith. But as you find your place in Acts chapter 4, we're going to look at verse number 13. As you find your place there to Acts chapter 4, I did hear about this story that this fellow was bear hunting one time. And he was going hunting. He hadn't seen anything. And he had had a little snack. And he'd had some, his hands were sticky. So he leaned his gun up against the tree. And he bent down by the stream. He was going to wash off his hands. And wouldn't you know it, as soon as he bent down to wash off his hands, then here comes this big bear rushing toward him. Rushing, and he looks over, and his gun is too far away. He can't get to it, and so he looks back and forth. And so he just offers up a quick prayer. Say, Lord, please make this bear a Christian. That's all he could think to do. And so that bear just came charging on there. He said, well, it didn't look like that prayer worked. That bear was almost to that hunter that was just detached from his gun, couldn't get there. And that bear was just coming on strong. All of a sudden, as if that bear heard the same thing that hunter said, that bear stopped. Put his paws toward heaven and said, Lord, bless this food I'm about to receive. And then went ahead. So be specific when you pray. Be specific. Not just a Christian bear that's not hungry today. So I want to preach for a little while about being bold in your faith. I'm just so burdened that we've let this world beat us down. We've let everything that comes through the news and through the media and all of these places, we've allowed it to push us back into the corner and not be bold for our faith. I'm not talking about being arrogant, and I'm not talking about being obnoxious, but I am talking about standing up for Jesus Christ. I'm talking about when everybody else can take the name of whatever cause they have and beat you down with it. But we can't muster up enough strength to stand up and say, no, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ. He's my Savior. We always, as a church, we always look at somebody when they're a ball player, and if they do have the courage to stand, and maybe they kneel in the end zone and give glory to God, or maybe they stand and say, I want to give thanks to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we cheer that on, and well, we should. But how about us? How about us in our daily lives? Are we trying to get the name of the Lord Jesus Christ out there? Or are we letting every foul thing and every ungodly and immoral thing be tossed about like it's their right and their privilege, and I guess it is in America, to say those things? But do we allow that to put us back into a corner where we won't stand up and be unashamed in our stand for Jesus Christ? Again, please don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that you become overbearing and unkind and you become obnoxious and then you get to be a bad testimony for the Lord. But the Bible says we ought to always stand ready to give an account of the answer and the hope that dwells within us. Ought to be willing to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to preach for just a little while about this, and that is they speak, these people will be speaking. But in a world that we're in, it's such bad shape, I realize it comes down to this. We don't need a church full of fear, but we need a church and a bunch of church people who are full of faith, who are willing to let God take care of all the consequences, and we're just ready to stand up, stand out, and speak out for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, please don't misunderstand here one other part, a little precursor for the message. Please don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that you go to your job and you do something that's forbidden from because of your work environment that they've said you cannot do this. You understand, if you're a good Christian, you're going to be a good employee. Because the Bible has a lot to say about respecting those that are above you in the employment fashion. And so you've got to mix all this together with a proper and appropriate employee. But my friend, I don't believe that's most of us. I think that we just get lockjaw a lot of times and we're afraid to speak out about the Lord. To our neighbors who can talk about every ungodly thing and they can put forth profanities and we can't get up the nerve to say, hey, I'd love to invite you to my church some Sunday. Love to have you come to a men's Bible study. Love to have you come to a ladies' Bible study. I want to help us this morning, I think, if the Lord will allow me. Acts chapter 4, verse number 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred, that's they, the council, they conferred among themselves. Here's what they said while Peter and John are off to the side. What shall we do with these men? Verse number 16. For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them, Peter, John, get back over here, and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. You think about that for a while. Judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. For when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all the men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom the miracle of healing was showed. And so the storyline is this. Peter and John, seeing the miracles of God, are told by the Sanhedrin here, told by this group as they are threatening them to tell them, we're going to let you go, but I don't want you to speak any more about the man or the man that was healed, the person you say that healed him. I don't want you to speak any more about that. And you know, our world would be pretty happy if we just quit talking at all about anything that's religious. Oh, they say freedom of religion. You can do anything you want to privately, as long as it doesn't interfere anybody else. But you understand, that's not where the Constitution laid it, even in our great nation. We have the free expression thereof. But regardless of what political thing you might come up with as far as free exercise thereof and expression of speech, I'm speaking about our Christian duty to stand strong on the message that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And I don't have to ask anybody to confess, and I'm not going to confess to you, but if we did, we would all have to admit that we've missed a lot of opportunities. Because of our social standing, because we didn't want to be embarrassed, because we didn't want to get into something this, that, or the other. But my friend, this morning, I'm going to preach this while about they speak. If you'd give me the next 15 minutes. Father, bless us now as our prayer. Work in our hearts, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Some think that a Christian's job is to be kind, and well, you should be kind. Some think it's a Christian's job to be a great humanitarian, and certainly we should champion those causes. Some think it's the duty to comfort the world and get clean drinking water in places where there is none. Some think it's the job of a Christian to teach peace and teach everybody and show everybody how to get along. And those are great humanitarian needs. Those are great things that we ought to champion. But can I tell you this? The greatest thing that we can do to be kind to somebody is show them how they could have a home in heaven. The greatest comfort is to know, the greatest comfort in my heart is not to have a pillow under my head at night, although I enjoy that. The greatest comfort in my heart is to know that Jesus Christ has forgiven me of my sins. If I want to comfort the world, then I ought to tell them that message. The greatest humanitarian is that person who shares the faith and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the greatest peace comes from knowing the Prince of Peace. My friend, I'm trying to tell you, as one commentator says, we who preach the gospel must not think of ourselves as public relation agents. We didn't come to give Jesus a good name. We did come to live in a way and give a good image to Him, but we came not to reconcile business with religion. We are here not to necessarily pull your workplace in with this church, but we are here to profess the name of Jesus Christ. Let me give you a few things. Number one, we see in verse number 17 and 18 that they spoke up in the midst of threatenings. In the midst of threatenings, they spoke up. Verse number 17 says, "But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly or sternly threaten them that they'd speak henceforth, to no man in this name." History tells us that most of the apostles, with the exception of John, and they tried him, all the apostles except for him, Judas, of course, but the others, were martyred for their faith. John, they dipped him in oil and tried to kill him, but they didn't. He was later exiled to the Isle of Patmos. But the apostles, history says, not the scriptures, that they were all martyred. It's said of history that Peter, because he did not want to die, didn't think he was worthy to die like his Savior, they were going to crucify him. And he asked his crucifiers if they would crucify him upside down, because he did not feel that he was worthy to be crucified even in the same fashion of Jesus Christ. And you understand that these men went to great loss of their life and to great peril before the loss of their life. In the midst of threatenings, these men that would not speak out for Christ before the Holy Spirit of God came upon them, and they spoke out for Christ to the detriment of their own health and their own living. This Sanhedrin that we talked about in the passage here, this is the body that judged lawbreakers. And now these men are brought to the Sanhedrin and they are threatened not to speak anymore like that. And I tell you a story. My pastor was preaching at a church in Mississippi. And the pastor told the story. Back in the 70s, late 70s, there was a preacher preaching. And he felt led of the Lord to preach on the prodigal son. And he preached in a church, and he'd already had his text, already had his message. And at the beginning of the message, there was somebody who he called a hippie. Long hair, grungy beard, just tattered clothes. And he came in and sat in the back. And he wrestled with what to do. He was afraid some of the things he was going to say were going to offend that person back there, because he was talking about the prodigal son and how people ought to just come on home. But he thought, I have to obey God rather than man. And he preached. He said, at the invitation time, he invited everybody to come to Christ. And back there, that hippie that he called made his way down the aisle. And that preacher on a platform lower than this saw him from about three or four pews back. And when he got that close, he realized, I recognize through that beard and through that filth on him, that's my son. So he dove over pews, parting the people just to try to get to hug the neck of his son. And that night, he got right with God. And that person that came forward, the long-haired fella that was obviously in filth, literal filth of the world, got his life turned around. The preacher that was preaching the message retired eventually, and that young man pastored the church that my pastor, Brother Norris, has preached in Mississippi. And that hippie, as the preacher man called him, got God all over his life, and he came to pastor the church of the preacher that was preaching that night. Well, you say, why would you say that? I'm saying that we have fears within, because here that preacher was up there saying, I can't preach this message. There's a lot of the statements I'm going to make that he might take personal, and he didn't want to offend anybody for all the world. But he had to obey the Lord. My friend, you can be afraid within, you can be afraid without. You cannot speak up for the Lord because you're afraid on the inside. You're afraid of what somebody might do on the outside, but you're just afraid. And I'm saying this morning that they spoke up in the name of Jesus Christ, even through threatenings. We've got to preach the word, whether we have threatenings from within or from without, or fears from within. They spoke. And I'm asking this crowd this morning, if you might examine your life and examine your heart and ask God this question, Lord, am I too quiet? Again, I'm not asking you to be obnoxious. I would never should. You shouldn't be obnoxious, but you should be bold. I'm not asking you to be arrogant, but I am saying you should be confident. If folks are going to speak up about everything that they believe in, then we ought to find the courage in us to say, let me tell you about my Jesus. Folks, you have opportunities on a regular basis just to get a word in for the Lord. Can I tell you how I got through a problem like that? Can I tell you what I did when that same situation happened to me? Can I tell you what helps me in situations like this? Can I tell you where I get hope? Can I tell you where I get peace? You've got all kinds of opportunities to speak up for the Lord, and that's what they did in the midst of threatenings. Not only did they do it in the midst of threatenings, but look in verse 21 if you would. They spoke up for the glory of God. I believe there's a lot of folks that speak up for the glory of self. There's a lot of preachers that I've met, and you walk away and say, I'm not sure whether they speak louder for the Lord or for their own ministry. But I'm telling us all this morning that we ought to speak up for the glory of God. The end of verse number 21 says this, because of the people, they threatened them and they found nothing that they might punish them for, because all the men glorified God for that which was done. These men, they spoke up in the midst of threatenings, but they also spoke up for the glory of God. Have you ever asked yourself this question? Why am I here? Really, why am I here? And you say, well, it can't just be to raise your family. It can't just be provide food, clothing, shelter for a group of people. Somebody else could do that. It can't be just for that. It can't be just to have fun. It can't just to be eat, drink, and be merry. It can't be for all those things. We must be here for a reason. All of us, at whatever age we are, we've got a purpose on this earth. There's a reason that the Lord left us here. You say, I know what the reason was. The Lord left me here so I'd get saved. Well, why did he leave you after you got saved? He's obviously got further instructions for us. I think I've told you before, this young preacher, he was preaching in a nursing home, and he wanted to be very, and all of the folks were out there, they had, many of them had different disease, different things that were going on in their mind and whatnot, and so many of them were just oblivious to what he was even saying. But this young man, he wanted to wax eloquent. He'd heard his pastor do it, and so he asked these thought-provoking questions, and he said, why am I here? And he was thinking about this deep theological reason why we're here: for the glory of God. We're here to win souls. We're here to proclaim the gospel message. And nobody answered, as they didn't through the whole lesson that he gave. He asked again, why am I here? And he again wanted them to instill in them the great urgency to think, why are we here? We've got a greater purpose. It's not just to eat and to drink, and it's not just to live and exist. And he asked a third time, why am I here? Find this little lady in the wheelchair. She said, listen, honey, I battle this same thing. Sometimes I can't remember why I'm here either. So I just go ask the lady at the desk. She always reminds me why I'm here. Now, I may not know why you're there, but I know why we're here. And I don't mean in this building this morning. I know why God hasn't taken me on to heaven and why he hasn't taken you on to heaven. He has not, because he wants us to glorify God in our body and our spirits, which are God's. He wants us to do something for him before he comes to get us. We'd live our lives full of faith and full of trust in God so that we can glorify him. And these men, they spoke up in the midst of threatenings that people were telling them, you better not do that. But they also spoke up to glorify God. And I'm asking this morning, does my speech glorify the Lord? Do a quick review of who I've talked to this week, who you've talked to. In the conversations I've had with coworkers, in the conversations I've had in different settings of my life, did my speech glorify the Lord? Or would it be hard-pressed for somebody to even tell I was a Christian after a 45-minute conversation with me? My friend, if somebody can go very long without picking something up out of your speech that there's something different about you, that you know the Lord, then I would challenge you to take that great weighty matter to the Lord and say, Lord, I want my speech to glorify you. Oh, they may not walk away and say, I bet they're going to church this Sunday, or I bet they're doing this. But you talk to somebody for an hour or two, there ought to have been something that came up in that conversation that would indicate to that person you're having the conversation with, there's something about that fella, or there's something about that lady. They spoke in the midst of threatenings, and they spoke for the glory of God. I give you this last one. If you look down in verse number 29, now they're let go and they're gone on here. They're dispersing, as it were. But I see in verse number 29 that they speak also, it's alluded to here, they speak in the power of God. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Maybe here's the difference. Here's where we get off track. Maybe we've tried to speak boldly without speaking in the power of the Lord. Maybe we've tried to have that boldness, but it's just come off as abrasive. Maybe we've had to try to have that confidence, but instead it came off as arrogance and it turned people away. Here, these folks, the Bible says that they might speak their word. They were in boldness, and they did that with all boldness, but they did it in the power of the Lord, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Not only are we supposed to speak up in the midst of you have to admit that this world is getting very hostile to the person that says, I believe these biblical values. Threatenings. These folks spoke up in the midst of literal threatenings. And I'm asking each of us to speak up in the midst of threatenings of the world. It's amazing what you would be allowed to go in a public forum and say you wanted to have some lifestyle that was completely off the wall and off the charts and completely out of the norm, and people would respect your rights. But then if you get the Word of God and you say, here's how I believe a person should live because God says so in His Word, then they would condemn you possibly for hate speech. I'm saying this morning that we ought to speak up for our faith. Again, in a kind, gracious way, but speak up for our faith in the midst of threatenings and for the glory of God. And lastly, in the power of God. Now, we all know some who were not in the power of God and they came off as obnoxious. But I've known some sweet Christians, and they must have been with Jesus for a little while because you could sense that aroma. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 5, for without me you can do nothing. But he also said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you shall receive power. You say, I've witnessed to my loved ones before. I've spoke up to my folks before about the Lord, and nothing happened. Can I ask you this? On those tough cases, on those times when you know you need to speak up for the Lord, have you bathed it, immersed it, baptized it, so to speak, in prayer? Say, Lord, help me. You know, you don't get an interaction like this with Peter and John when they have such power of God. But what before that, they weren't spending a lot of time with the Lord. Sometimes we like the boldness. We like the abrasiveness. We're like sandpaper. We like that part. But before we're going to be that, we ought to be that sweet person who lingers with the Lord in prayer. This morning, I'm so overwhelmed by how our world will broadcast everything that's ungodly, everything that's anti-biblical, everything, the far reaches of someone's imagination, and call it normal. But then we as Christians we get afraid to stand up and speak up and say, I'd like to tell you about Jesus. And I'm asking you this morning, I already told you that it's nothing wrong with us being great humanitarians and teaching peace and doing all kinds of good missionary works. But I'm saying this morning, we don't need to necessarily make Jesus acceptable to this world. We just need to be proclaiming the message. Jesus did not try to make himself palatable to everybody around. He just simply came and said, I am the light of the world. I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. You talk about a polarizing figure, Jesus was it. We didn't come to make him palatable. We came and we're remaining in this earth. Why are we here? We remain here to be proclaimers of the name of Jesus Christ. We need some fathers that would stand up and say, I'll lead my family proclaiming Jesus Christ. We need some employees who will say, I'll be the best employee at my workplace, but when I get opportunity, I'll proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. Are you speaking up this morning? Or are you that closet Christian who's in the secret service of the Lord? May we get on the front lines and be those ones that speak. Father, bless us now is our prayer. I pray that you would encourage, dear Lord, infuse some strength into some of your Christian, your children, dear Lord, that we might be those ones that speak out kindly, graciously, but speak out in this wicked, perverse world. May we not let our message of the gospel, Jesus Christ, be silenced. Lord, the message is too important, eternity too long. Lord, would you help us? Would you help us, Father? And would you strengthen us, we pray. Now, here's my invitation, folks. Maybe you've been that one that there's been some times, you're like me, there's been some times when you didn't speak up for the Lord. Oh, I'm embarrassed every time it happens. You say, you as the pastor of the church, you better believe it. Convince myself that maybe they don't want to hear or they're too busy or this, that, or the other. I need to speak up more. Maybe you're the same. I challenge you to make a holy vow to the Lord. So Lord, I will. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not sure that you're saved yourself. You're not sure that you've put your faith in Jesus Christ alone as your Savior. Maybe there's somebody here that you're saved. You need to be baptized. We're going to baptize some this morning. And you say, I need to stand up, stand out. I've been putting that off. Maybe you need to come be baptized this morning in obedience to your faith. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Whatever your need is, I hope that you would come and honor the Lord and obey Him in what He directs you to do. Father, again, bless us is our prayer. We'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Would you stand together as the ladies play something through? If God's speaking your heart this morning, maybe you're one of the ones you need to be baptized. Just come on down. We'll get you signed up for that. Maybe you need to be born again. Would you step out and come? Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And you want to follow the Lord in that. Once you come, present yourself for membership. And we'll have set up a meeting with you this week and get that process started. Would you come? Thank you.
this way. They're going to continue. And I want to just encourage you as you go today. We'll sing a song here in just a second. But we are just want to encourage you as you go. If you are a visitor with us, if you're a guest, you're one of your first times here at the church, we're so glad that you are here. And like I said, there's a guest services counter off to the left. And you stop by there afterwards. And just so you can get a chance, we have somebody there who would like to meet you. And like I said, give you a gift to thank you for being a guest with us. We're going to sing Trust and Obey. And just a few verses of it, however much time they need up there. We'll sing a few verses of this. And I want to encourage you as we consider this privilege that we have to baptize these this morning, that we would also, as Pastor said, if you've never been baptized, if you have some other step that you need to take in your walk with the Lord, I want to encourage you to make sure you take that step here very, very soon. Are you ready up there? We need.
Teal, if you need to slip out for a job or something, please feel free to. But it's a joy to see folks follow Christ in baptism, and Emily and Brett have been a great blessing to Amy and I, and Emily's been saved for some time, but she wants to follow Christ in baptism by immersion, and just in her walk with the Lord, it's always a joy to see folks want to do that, and so we're getting to witness all that, and then we'll see Cadence be baptized as well, and I want you to pray for folks as they step forward and make their steps for the Lord. Like I was preaching earlier, we ought to stand up, stand out, and speak out for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've been closet Christians too long. And may we stand up and be not proud and arrogant, but be thankful and grateful for what the Lord's done in our lives. So, Emily. This is Emily, and she's trusted Christ as Savior and wants to follow the Lord in baptism. Emily, in obedience to Jesus Christ our Lord, and because of your profession of faith, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Hold your nose. Buried in baptism. Raised to walk in newness of life. You rejoice with me? You say amen? Amen. Amen. Cadence is a wonderful blessing. Always good to see her around the church and helping out and working and running around. But she's also trusted Christ as her Savior. And Cadence Pope wants to follow Christ in baptism. And Cadence, in obedience to Jesus, because he's commanded us to follow him in baptism, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Hold your nose. Buried in baptism. Raised to walk in newness of life. You rejoice with me, would you say amen? Amen and amen. Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much, ladies. What a joy. You can stand together with me. And again, a joy to be in church. And I challenge you to take the message this morning and apply it to our lives. I believe our Lord is coming soon. And I want to tell as many folks as I can about him before he comes back. Heaven is real, my friend. I want to tell as many folks as I can about how to get there. And let's rejoice in that wonderful privilege and obligation, though, as well. Thank you for being in church this morning. God bless you. You're dismissed.